Welcome to Purple Politics Nevada. I'm your host, Lucia Starbuck. The name refers to the fact that the state isn't red or blue, it's both. For the first time in the show's history, we are broadcasting live right here from the KUNR studio in Reno. Today, we're talking about the state-facilitated retirement savings option for private sector employees called NEST, the Nevada Employee Savings Program. Businesses with more than six employees who've been around for more than 3 years and don't offer 401ks or pensions must enroll in this program under a state law established in 2023. Our first guest to break it all down is Treasurer Zach Conine. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Congratulations on this very first live episode of Purple Politics. Little risky to have a bunch of finance people on live on the radio, but here we are.
Yes. Well, for starters, how does this program work exactly?
So the Nevada Employee Savings Trust functionally creates a retirement account for the 593,000 employees who don't get one through work. And I think that's really important here, right? So a large portion of the working population in Nevada doesn't have access to what we would consider a traditional retirement plan through work. So they don't have access to a pension or a 401k. They aren't part of a retirement program through organized labor. And so because of that, it's harder for them to save for retirement. And one of the things that my predecessor, Treasurer Kate Marshall, who will be on the show a little bit later, I always not sure if I should call her Treasurer Kate Marshall or Lieutenant Governor Kate Marshall, so I just go with the most fun job she's ever had. But what Treasurer Marshall realized was that, you know, we need to be able to provide folks an opportunity to save for the future, because if they don't, there's a lot of negative economic consequences downstream. And so what NEST is it provides employers with a free, right? So free to the employer way to provide a very simple IRA, individual retirement account program to their employees. The program became mandatory in Nevada at the beginning of this fiscal year on July 1, right? So a couple of months ago. And to date, we have 51,000 employees in the system, about 8% of the universe so far that we're trying to get signed up in there. And now they have access to retirement. And that's so important for so many reasons, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
And do businesses need to match? Is there an interest rate or anything like that for this program?
So one of the things that we really spent a lot of time talking about when the program was passed legislatively was how do we make sure that this is as easy for businesses as possible, right? And also, and it's really important for the Treasury, we're not trying to compete with the private market here, right? There are plenty of fantastic programs. The Vegas Chamber of Commerce offers one. Individual retirement specialists offer different types of programs. And those programs have a lot more options, right? This program does not have an employer match at all. There is no cost to the employer. But should the employer want to make a match, right, we hope this will be kind of like a gateway retirement program, right, where individuals can say, oh, you know, this is really great for my employees. It's creating stability in their lives. It's allowing them to plan for the future. And because of that, we want to offer something a little bit more robust, and the private sector is there to do that.
What happens if someone gets a different job?
So the greatest thing about this program, the real genius about this program, is it actually lives with the individual, not with the employer. And so plenty of folks, I've had one, right? When you go from one employer to another employer, you have a 401k that you can't contribute into anymore because you're not with the employer of origin. It kind of sits out there for a while until you roll it into another retirement plan. We get assets turned over to the Treasury every year in unclaimed property that are retirement accounts from employers that the employee doesn't have connection to anymore. And so they just lost track of and they get turned over to us. The neat thing about the NEST program is that the account lives with the individual. And so you can actually take this plan. If you go to another employer in the state, you can take this plan and just keep contributing right in. If you go to another employer in another state that is part of our large contingent, our multi-state agreement to do this work, you can keep contributing in. If you go to a state that has an employer that isn't in the program, you can still, as an individual, keep contributing in. You know, of the 50,000, about 2% right now are actually employees in Nevada that have multiple employers. So they're actually signed up, you know, maybe they're working a couple hours at one employer and another couple hours at another employer. They're now able to contribute from both accounts, both employers, into the same retirement account, which we think is so very, very important. You know, we have an economy that sometimes requires individuals to have more than one job, and we want them to be able to save for retirement from all of them.
Is there a minimum that they have to contribute for this?
There isn't. And this is why it's so important, right? This is an entry-level IRA program. We want them to be able to come in, and if they can only put, $5 a week, that's great. It's also very flexible. So if they, for instance, I used to work in the restaurant space, and we'd have some employees that have wonderful weeks from a tip perspective, and the next week maybe wouldn't be so good. And so you can increase or decrease the amount of money you're putting aside for retirement through an app, through the website. It takes all of 30 seconds to change what your contribution plan is. And you can do that every paycheck if you want to. And so in other states, we see people move up and down from contribution level just based on what's going on in their life. We think it's really, really important that people be able to save. And as I'm sure your other guests will speak to, like, there's just some really big state economic reasons for wanting to make sure people have access to retirement plans.
I want to ask, if there's no matching, how do you make sure that people's dollars don't depreciate over time with inflation? And how is this different than the state putting money under the mattress for people?
Well, we invest it. As you know, Lucia, the state treasury is the state's largest investment wing. We manage about $10 billion of other people's money. And over the last 6.5 years, we've been able to generate more than $1.2 billion in investment returns, which makes us, depending on when you want to look at it, the fifth or sixth largest revenue stream of the state in the state treasury. Now, that's interesting because that makes us larger many months than the live entertainment tax, which, just for the record, makes me bigger than Taylor Swift. A lot of people don't know that, but I think it's important for your listeners to understand that the state treasury is bigger than Taylor Swift.
I guess
Somewhere
to
my
jump
life is
in,
cringing.
what do you mean by
Yes.
you'll invest this money?
We'll invest it, right? And so we are, when those dollars come in, the employee has a choice of different types of investment plans. There's one that's less risky, right? Focus more on fixed income and bonds, things that, aren't going to go up as much, but are less likely to go down. And there's one that's kind of middle of the road, Goldilocks, right? And then we've got one that's a little bit more risky. These are very simple investment accounts. These are mutual funds. These are things that aren't going to move dramatically one way or another. But as we've seen over time, right, investment in equities, investment in general, can help beat inflation and make sure that people's money grows over time. And of course, then you also get to see the compounding benefit of your interest gaining interest, right? And so we hope to see Nevadans' accounts continue to grow, and that'll make them want to save even more.
Thank you, Taylor Swift. Oops, I mean Treasure Conine.
It happens. It happens.
Workplaces were required to register by September 1st. Did everyone make that deadline?
Nope. And that's okay, right? We know that small businesses in Nevada have a lot going on right now, especially given the pressures that we're seeing in the economy, the pressures that we're seeing from tariffs, the pressures we're seeing from, well, just a lot of the shenanigans coming out of Washington. We get it, right? And so in the Treasury, our goal is to support and uplift our small businesses, as we've done through programs like our Small Business Grant Program, as we've done basically in every way that we can, right? And so we are here to help. We are working with businesses to get them signed up. There is no intention to, start kicking in doors and putting penalties on. We want to be there as a resource to help. And what I think we're finding is, as employers, finally take the time, this is a really quick process. If they already have a plan, and so they don't have to, they're not required to sign up for the NEST program, it takes them about 90 seconds to fill out an attestation form saying, "Hey, I'm already in compliance." If they do have to sign up, they can integrate with one of our more than 30 payroll providers. So if they're using a payroll provider that we've heard of, they're probably integrated, right? So QuickBooks and Paychex and ADP and everybody else. And then they just have to connect those two accounts and they're done, right? We take it from there. We do all the communications with employees. We do all the communications when an employee loses a password or needs to reset something, wants to change what their investments are. All of that's handled by the state so that the employer can do what the employer is supposed to do, which is run their business.
Nearly 600,000 workers in Nevada do not have access to a retirement plan through their job, according to AARP. What does this tell you about Nevada's workforce?
I don't think it says anything specific about the workforce. I think if you look nationally, the number of employers who have been offering 401ks and other retirement plans is less, right? And we also know that when employees are living, as they are unfortunately in Nevada in a lot of cases, under the poverty line, paycheck to paycheck, planning for retirement, planning for something in the future, some amorphous problem, can be harder. But as we've seen in the Treasury, we run all the college savings programs for the state, right? More than $35 billion worth of college savings assets. And what we've seen through programs like the one that Kate Marshall started College Kickstart. When people know that there is a way to save, when they have a vehicle to do so, they're more inclined to do so. When it's right in front of them, when they don't have to go out and figure out how to go talk to a broker and how do they set up an IRA and how do they do it right without creating tax considerations for themselves, when it is just given to them and say, hey, here's this thing if you want to use it. We find that more Nevadans use it and it's easier for them. That's government's job, right? We should make it easier for people to get through the day. And I think this has been a real success for us so far.
What are some common businesses or industries that don't typically offer retirement plans for their employees?
Smaller ones, right? And so the program is targeted towards employers that have six or more employees and have been around for 3 or more years, right? So we're not trying to show up at your door the moment you start your restaurant. But if you've been going for 3 years and things are going okay, if you're an independent restaurant, the likelihood that you have a retirement plan for your employees is pretty small because they can be very expensive, not just from a match perspective, but from an administration perspective. And so what this program allows us to do is instead of having 30 employees, eventually we'll have 600,000 employees, right? And those 600,000 employees, the cost does not scale directly, right? And so we're able to provide this program to those employees much, much more cheaply, which should make it easier, for employees to take the plunge. It's also because of that free to the employers. And we think that's really, really important, right? Everything that's happening in the world right now, we don't need to make it harder on folks, to get through the day and to make a payroll cycle, to be profitable, to build their families and build their lifestyle in the way that they want to as business owners. We just want to provide another tool to be competitive.
Once businesses sign up, employees are automatically enrolled. Why did you do that? And do you have any concerns of, you mentioned people are living paycheck to paycheck. Is it realistic to put money away for retirement for some people?
For some people, no. And for some people, yes, right? And so the goal of this program, like every other program we run in the Treasury, is we want people to have options, right? We want them to save for retirement if they're able to. We want them to put money away for higher education if they're able to. And we want those options to be as smooth and as seamless as possible so that when that moment occurs, when they're saying, you know what, we can do this. We can put $5 a week away, $10 a week away, $100 a week away. Once they get to that point, we want them to have all the tools to be able to do it. So it just doesn't end up on something that's, on a post-it note on the fridge. And 3 years later, they haven't. Because as I'm sure Elliot can tell you, the growth over time of those dollars can become so tremendous and so powerful. Look, we know that not every Nevadan is going to be able to save for retirement tomorrow. We want them to have the tools to do so. And then with everything else we do in the office, we want to make sure that they've got the opportunity to be able to do so.
And final question for you, might be obvious, but why should someone start saving? How do you make the case for people in their 20s who are won't retire for a really long time, or is it too late for people in their 50s? How do you make that case?
So the two things we always say in the college savings space is that it's never too late to start and it's never too early to want to start. The sooner you get going, your money starts compounding. The interest that the money earns interest, right? So you're basically getting money on money. And then eventually you're getting money on money on money, right? And that compounding can be so very powerful. Look, we're all getting older. I'm getting older every day as much as I try to fight it, right? The beard is a lot grayer than it was when I took office in 2019. And that's okay, right? But we've all got to be thinking about what happens in the future because it's not just about us. It's about our kids. It's about our kids' kids. And if we're going to create the sort of generational growth that Nevada has always been about, Nevadans need to have the tools to do it. Nested is one of those tools.
Thank you so much for your time today, Treasurer Zach Conine. He's overseeing the state-run retirement savings program. You can learn more about this at nest.nv.gov. I'm Lucia Starbuck, and you're listening to Purple Politics Nevada. We were just talking with the Nevada Treasurer about why the state should help people prepare for retirement, but let's chat more about how people save. Joining me now is Elliot Parker, Professor and Chair of Economics at UNR. Thanks for being here, Elliot.
Thank you for having me.
So, retirement savings is an issue many Americans grapple with. The dream retirement age used to be 65, but that goal moves further and further and further away. What factors make it so difficult for people to put money away so they can stop working comfortably?
Well, obviously income, right? People at the lower end of the income spectrum often feel too pressed by their expenses. And so it is hard to put money away as you're younger, and then building that habit will take some time. if you look at the distribution of income in the United States, you've got like the top 10% does about 200% of the savings. What that means is if you're in the bottom half of the income distribution, you're actually more likely to be borrowing than you are to be saving. Now, there's a variety of ways to borrow, obviously. You know, college students would take out student loans. About 45% of people run credit card balances rather than paying them off every month. You have a small percentage, maybe 3% or so, who wind up using payday loans to cover everyday expenses. And of course, you know, the average person might take out $200 in loans and they wind up paying back $600. There's a famous physicist was once asked what he thought the most powerful force in the universe was, and he answered compound interest. And of course, that works two ways.
And what does that mean?
It means that when you make money on your money, you then make money on the money you made on your money, right? So it builds on that. You're making interest on your interest over time, and the better rate of return you get over time, it really does build up. Of course, that works two ways. It works that way if you're saving, but it works that way even more so if you're borrowing, because you wind up paying a lot of money for the privilege of borrowing money from other people. And so one great thing about trying to get people to save more is they can use their own savings to finance their expenses, finance the emergencies that come up, rather than having to use other people's money at a much higher rate of return.
So you're saying the vast majority is actually losing money or becoming more in debt, while small percentages is getting more money.
Part of it, of course, is the life cycle, right? Younger people are less likely to save. Older people are more likely to save. But even so, the numbers vary. Treasurer Conine gives a number close to 25%. I've seen other estimates that suggest up to a third of American households, American adults, don't have any form of savings plans. Only about 20% or so have something close like what we might think of as a pension plan. Other people have 401ks that build up. And that means, of course, that when we retire, we're going to be very dependent on state services. We're going to be very dependent on things like Social Security and Medicare and even Medicaid. You know, you call your program about Purple Nevada, right?
Yeah.
And this is really a very purple issue. We all want people to be more self-reliant. We would like that, right? So encouraging people to save more and allowing them to be more self-reliant is something that Democrats and Republicans can both support.
Talk more about how savings patterns have changed from boomers and Gen X to millennials and Gen Z.
Well, part of it is that we have fewer people with union jobs. We have fewer people working for employers that give them pensions. Many private firms have stepped back from the difficulties of managing pensions, right? And as was pointed out earlier in the show, it can be expensive for firms to administer these programs, to try to manage these programs, to make sure that the money is invested right. The nice part about having the state do it, this in the state treasurer, is we know they know how to deal already with large sums of money. And so they get rid of a lot of that administrative cost for the firms. And so over time, people have been shedding, you know, the firms have been shedding their pension plans. And that, of course, leads to a bigger problem. Americans simply don't save enough, right? At the macro level, we don't save enough to cover our investments in the United States. Now, some of that is personal. Most of it's personal. Some of it's business.
Like rent is due on the first. Why should I save for something decades from now?
Yes, that's true at the personal level. But I'm saying at the big level, the reason that the country runs trade deficits is because Americans don't save enough. The reason the country isn't growing as fast as it used to be is because we don't save enough. We want people to save more, and that savings rate has really been declining gradually since the 1980s.
I'm curious if you have any ideas how the U.S. goes back in that direction with more businesses matching or creating pensions or stronger unions. Is there any way the U.S. can go back?
That's a big question. I don't know the answer to to how we can get back to there. But little programs like this to give people better options to try to make it easier for them to save, I think, are great ideas.
A quarter of the population is at or near retirement age, which is the largest there's ever been. And on top of that, birth rates are declining. What kind of impacts can we expect to retirement savings and Social Security?
Well, for those in the upper income groups whose parents actually did save, they're going to be seeing a lot of money transferring, right? There's going to be a big transfer of wealth, but it's not going to be affecting the people at the bottom half of the income distribution.
And final question, as you mentioned, you know, less people are saving and also financial literacy is low and people can lose money if they don't know how to manage it properly. What can be done to improve education on this?
That is a good question. Actually, I'm having a talk in a couple of weeks with some folks who are trying to figure out how to piggyback onto groups like Junior Achievement and how to get better financial education into the schools. At one point, Kate Marshall had encouraged me to do a study of financial literacy in the high schools and how well it worked.
Yeah, what did you learn?
I learned it's better to get people younger, right? Not to wait until their senior year or try to teach them something. It's better to start teaching basic economic and financial principles younger. But it does take a lot of time. We're not spending the effort on educating people and how to be adults.
What kinds of things, final question, what kinds of things should you teach students when they're young?
Well, there's some practical things like, how do stocks work? How do bonds work? What is compound interest, right? How to balance your checkbook, how to manage your money that way, how to budget.
Yeah. That has been super insightful. That was economics professor Elliot Parker. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
This is Lucia Starbuck, and you're listening to Purple Politics Nevada. Our next guest is Kate Marshall. She served as Nevada's treasurer and lieutenant governor. And for full transparency, Kate and Elliot are married. Thanks so much for being on the show, Kate.
Thank you.
You have fought for a state-backed retirement program in the past, before the pandemic, actually, and there was a bill to do so in 2019. But it never received a floor vote, and that was under a Democratic governor. Why didn't it get past the finish line?
Well, I needed Zach. So, first off, I want to start by saying congratulations to Treasurer Conine, because so many times we hear our elected officials talk a good game. But at the end of the day, it's about what are they actually accomplishing? And you're right to point out that I brought this bill, and it takes time to get these across the finish line. And so I brought the bill. We didn't quite get there. Zach pushed it again. We got there. And the consistency, the persistence, the recognition that if you're going to deliver for folks in Nevada, you got to be willing to do the hard work. And so I just want to say that Zach's great.
All right. Enough about Zach. No, just kidding. What were some of the barriers the first time around? Why was it so difficult to push that through?
Well, I think that people were worried that it was going to cost them. To establish an employee retirement program doesn't just help those employees who don't have access to a retirement program. It also levels the playing field for small businesses, because those small businesses may have a hard time hiring people and keeping people if they can't offer the benefits. And so what we had was a lot of the chambers saying, well, we can do this. And they can, but they will also make a profit on that. And the state-run program does not turn a profit. And that's why part of the reason why it can keep costs so low. And I think the other issue was the mandatory nature. And of course, if you want to keep costs low, then you have to say to your businesses, guys, we're in this together. Over time, the burden has shifted. So you talk about, why do people save more earlier? Well, companies offered pension plans. And so it was automatic that you had a retirement plan. But today, that burden has shifted to the employee. And it's incumbent upon the employee to figure out all these investment vehicles. What should they save? When should they save? And the dirty little secret of that is it's not like their salary went up when their pension plan went away. So people have a lot of costs, and then they don't necessarily have the skill set to figure out this savings model. And so this is a way to say to people, look, I'm going to meet you where you are. Like you heard the treasurer say, we may have people who work three different jobs. We have people in this gig economy. They may work during the day and drive Uber at night. And so we're going to meet you where you are and provide a vehicle. The other thing, the other opposition to the program was something that Elliot brought up, was this short-term borrowing. So if you look at a map of Nevada and you set up the pawn shops, you just put pins in the map where they are, you would see there's a lot of pawn shops around poorer neighborhoods and payday loan shops around poorer neighborhoods. Under this program, if you invest your money and let's say you have $500 in your savings account now, well, instead of going to the payday loan shop for that $200 loan and paying $600 back, you can borrow the $200 from yourself.
And final question, how might that be helpful? Like I said, you tried to pass this before the pandemic in maybe an emergency situation.
Right. So exactly that, that you can borrow from yourself and then pay yourself back. And you don't have to charge yourself a very high interest rate. So it really provides flexibility. And it's a way of saying to folks in Nevada, our small businesses, our employees, hey, we get you. We got your back.
That's all we have time for today. A huge thank you to all of our guests, former Lieutenant Governor Kate Marshall, UNR Economics Professor Elliot Parker, and Treasurer Zach Conine. You just heard the first ever live broadcast of Purple Politics Nevada, hosted by yours truly, Lucia Starbuck. Thank you.